it says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that this is true. Thank you that your gospel is good news. Lord, I pray you'd soften our hearts, open our ears, pray that you would guide us by your Spirit. In your name, amen. So this is the last in our series of Jesus' I am statements. And this last one takes us, obviously, to Revelation. And Revelation can be sort of intimidating. So let me initially set the scene about what Revelation is all about. And I'm going to do it with a wee bit of help from football. So if any of you have seen me play football, you're probably like, what on earth is going on here? But stay with me. Football is going to help us with Revelation. So on the football pitch, whenever you're playing any sport generally, you have the perspective of everything around you, of the other players, of what's going on in the game. But when you take a step out, there's the manager on the touchline, and he can sort of see how the game is unfolding, sort of in a wider perspective. He can see how the game's unfolding and sort of counter what the other team is doing. But then a step further back, and you have the pundits up in their little booth thing, and they can see, you know, TV analysis, rewind, fast forward. They can see really how the tactics are all forming together and then inform us at halftime. Well, what does that mean for Revelation? Well, for us, Revelation is heaven's perspective. So it's heaven's perspective on all of human history. And whenever we get this perspective of heaven, of what's going on in the here and now, is really helpful. So in Revelation, in a book as a whole, we see all sorts of things going on. We see battles and wars. We see the devil and his schemes. We see Jesus. And we see the sufferings and the trials of Christians throughout the millennia. And at the end of all this, Jesus gives us this statement. I am the Alpha and the Omega. So this must be pretty important for us and how we live our lives. With heaven's perspective, with this wide-angle lens of all of history. But what does Alpha and Omega actually mean, though? So you probably do already know, but Alpha and Omega are the first and the last letters of the Greek alphabet, the beginning and the end, which seems fairly self-explanatory. Once again, what does that actually mean? Well, what Jesus is saying here is, if all of history is like a book, he's the author, and he's written the first page, and he's written the very last page. So that means every ink drop on the pages of history and eternity to come have been written by the Lord Jesus, the one with supreme power, supreme control, and supreme authority. Or if you're theological, you might say everything that has ever happened is sovereignly brought about by the Lord of the whole universe. Eternity past and eternity future, he is always powerful, and thankfully, he is always in control. Yet, when we look at the world around us, that doesn't seem to be the case at times, does it? So if we go back to the very start, to our ridiculous football illustration, whenever we're in the manager's dugout and we see like the wider world around us, you can't help but think, what on earth is going on here? We see chaos in our government, the general confusion in our nation, and just the way generally human beings have shunned God. How can he be in control of all these things? How can he be supremely powerful, and how can he be in control? But then, when we step onto the pitch and think about our own lives, it certainly doesn't feel like he's powerful or in control sometimes. Friends get sick. We fight that same sin over and over and over again and keep losing. Depression wages war on our minds. This leads us to doubt his power and his control, but maybe more importantly, it makes us doubt that he even cares. Is he even watching? Has he forgotten us? Where are you, Lord? And with these cries of desperation, Jesus declares, I am the Alpha and the Omega. And these words are to encourage us and to remind us that he is always in control. So this phrase, Alpha and Omega, bookend Revelation. So in Revelation 1, verse 8, it says, I'm the Alpha and Omega. And then at the end here in 22:13, what is the significance in that it's there at the start and at the end? Well, in 20s, we have been going through the book of Revelation, and sort of, as I alluded to at the very beginning, there's a lot that goes on in Revelation, and during that time, it seems that God isn't in control. We see horror, we see pain, we see evil and suffering. Maybe that is your story right now. I'm so sorry that that is what's going on in your life right now. But Revelation tells us that God is just as involved in chapter 1 of your life as he is chapter 77 and onwards. So just stop and think. Jesus is as in control of your life right now as whenever he created the whole world. If he is truly the Alpha, he is just as in control as whenever he carved out the mountains, whenever he placed the fish into the sea, whenever he breathed life into Adam, whenever he said, almost like an afterthought, yeah, let's have some stars as well. Why not? How comforting is that? That whenever your life feels utterly, utterly out of control, he's got it. They're in his hands. Your exams, they're in his hands. Your secret sin, in his hands. Singleness, in his hands. Raising kids, in his hands. Stop and think. Think about that thing that you feel most out of control of. Go on, have a think. What is that thing? That is in the Alpha and the Omega's hands. That thing that you literally can't get a handle of. Does that not make you want to sing, hallelujah? I am so glad that that thing that I struggle with, that I wrestle with, is in God's hands. I have a hope. But maybe for you, you hear that and you think, yes, I know I should think that in my head. I know I should think that way. But it's not in here. It's not in my heart. Like, I understand that God is in control and is sovereign and powerful. But that's just not what it looks like in my life. So the question really is, how can we trust him with the beginning, the end, and everything in between when it does seem out of control? Well, the answer is that whenever things in history seem most out of control, most unfair, and most evil, is when Jesus hung on the cross. Think about it. The uncreated one, born. The timeless one, stepping into time. The all-powerful creator God having to learn how to walk. That's ridiculous. The one who spoke eternity into existence was laughed at, ignored. People thought he was mental. Those hands that place stars into space, nailed to a cross for you. So when you feel like giving up, when everything seems out of control, look to Jesus. Look at the man on the cross, the beginning and the end of our faith, and take heart. He is coming, and he's coming soon. And you won't be disappointed, even if in this life you so often feel like you are. We'll close with this. Have you ever watched like a TV show or a movie and you've just been gutted at the ending? Like, it's just been really rubbish. Just not good enough. I looked up some of the most disappointing endings of all time, and there are things like Lost, The Sopranos, How I Met Your Mother. Some of you might not even know what they are, but like, basically people are really upset that those did not end very well. As Christians, it's really hard for us to think about what heaven, what the end will actually be like. But what Scripture tells us is that we will not be disappointed by the end of the story in Jesus. This end is what makes all the pains and sufferings of life worth it. Like, we will see Jesus. Like, we talk about him so much in church with our Christian friends. Like, we will see Jesus. Jesus will come up to you with nail-scarred hands and wipe away every tear from your eye. Jesus, the one with scars on his side, who suffered and died to bring you home, to bring you to heaven. Jesus, the one who is broken, so as to make all broken things new. This is the hope that we have in Jesus, and it is greater than any hope and any pleasure that this life has to offer. So my encouragement to you is this: let Jesus, our Alpha and Omega, captivate our thoughts, stir our hearts, and fuel our prayers so that many who we know and love will be with us in heaven. Let me pray. Father, thank you so much that in Jesus, you're in complete control of all history, even when life seems so out of control. Father, thank you that you sent Jesus to point us to you, to bring us, to reconcile us to you. Thank you that you are the Alpha and the Omega. Pray that you would help us to pray as we think of eternal things. Amen.